Hey, we've been warned about major censorship coming from big tech, and it's here. Also, today, if you want the poster child of 1 Timothy chapter 4, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, we've got it for you on this program. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Monday, August the 12th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And my voice is probably a little bit more raspy than it regularly is. It's probably a little bit more congested because I am currently fighting off a head cold, so I do apologize for that. We want to welcome you to the podcast tonight. Again, if this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you're new on Rumble, YouTube, wherever you may be joining us from. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. All of these are not only going to be beneficial to you in keeping up with us on these platforms, but it also is beneficial to us because it helps push our material out there so others can see it. And of course, we would love for you to pick up your free app today. And it's available on Apple and Android devices. Go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you. Pick it up today. Hit yes to push notifications. And you're going to be squared away and good to go. Every headline, every podcast, every breaking news, every prophecy update, everything is going to be right at your fingertips. So we would love for you, again, to join our family getting these updates by just simply downloading that free app today so that you can be blessed by our ministry. So today, I want to take you back on a little bit on memory lane. Now, I want to remind you when this was several months ago, we talked about the World Economic Forum that put a spotlight on, quote, misinformation. And falling in that misinformation is AKA conspiracy theories. They're doing this as a significant global challenge. They consider this the greatest threat right now posing humanity. Why? According to the WEF, because misinformation can undermine trust institutions, spread harmful falsehoods, and exacerbate social and political polarization. The WEF states that misinformation can affect everything from public health responses, such as during what happened during the Wuhan outbreak and pandemic, to democratic processes, including elections. There you go. In their discussions, the WEF has emphasized the importance of addressing misinformation through improved digital literacy, better regulation, and we're going to talk about their better regulation today, of online platforms, hello, big tech, and more robust fact-checking mechanisms, because Lord knows there's not enough fact-checking mechanisms out there. We need a lot more. They also stress the role of collaboration between governments, technology companies, and civil society in combating the spread of misinformation. We're going to show you how they're doing that as well on today's program. This stance is part of a broader concern within the WEF about the impact of digital technologies on society, particularly in the context of the fourth industrial revolution, where misinformation can spread rapidly through social media and other digital channels. So one of the ways they're doing this is they're using big tech. Now, big tech companies are taking various approaches and angles to, quote unquote, tackle misinformation and conspiracy theories. How are they doing this? They're using Meta or Facebook. And that company is using AI and human moderators to detect and remove false information. They also partner with independent fact checkers worldwide. I've become acquainted with, our ministry has become well acquainted with independent fact checkers. Oh, yes. They love to fact check everything and even the most ridiculous things you could think of. They label content that is deemed, quote, misleading, and they will reduce its spread. And repeated offenders may face reduced visibility or their entire account is suspended or unpublished. By the way, as of right now, our End Time Headlines Facebook is in the red. They're already threatening to unpublish our page because of this right here. Twitter is even on this. Twitter introduced features like Birdwatch, where users can flag misleading tweets, which are then reviewed by the community. It also labels tweets that contain potentially misleading information, especially in contexts like elections or public health. Oh, you better get used to elections and public health, because this is where all of this is centered around, in my opinion. Google. Google will demote sites known to spread false information and search rankings. We call that shadow banning. On YouTube, it displays fact check panels and reduces recommendations of videos that, quote, spread misinformation. Google also collaborates with fact checking organizations and provides them with tools to verify claims. We've said this before. An event takes place and you go on Google to search out that event and it'll say search results are rapidly changing or they're changing quickly. Why? Because again, a narrative has to be created. So it doesn't matter if there was 12 eyewitnesses that saw the event and they all said we saw the same thing and they reported to the mainstream media and then the word gets out, but somebody higher up says, no, we can't get that narrative out there. So we need to let Google kind of throttle that down and put up this generic label that's saying that the results are changing. Then when we officially have our narrative and somebody Googles it in, then that generic label will come up. Then you have algorithms that are working hand in hand with all this stuff. YouTube uses this. They tweak recommendation algorithms to avoid promoting content that skirts the lines of its policies, aka conspiracy theories that don't overly violate guidelines, but still mislead users. And because of that, the visibility of their content will be reduced significantly. This is why, in my opinion, our channel doesn't get much of it. We have to constantly push our channel because YouTube won't promote it because of this right here. Facebook and Instagram do this. They prioritize credible information, especially on sensitive topics like, again, health threats or elections, and reduce the reach of content flagged as false. All of these companies are continually educating users on spotting misinformation. Let me say that again. Google, Facebook, Twitter, all of these, Instagram, even TikTok is involved on this. All the big tech giants, they are continually educating their users on how to properly spot misinformation and conspiracy theories. What would you say if I told you that now they're teaching students in school how to spot this? Would you think I was crazy? Because I'm getting ready to show that to you in just a moment. Oh, and then there comes the collaborations and partnerships. Facebook, Twitter, and Google, along with Microsoft. All of these have collaborated with governments, NGOs, and academic institutions to research and combat misinformation, one of them being the WEF. They all partner with global organizations, like even the World Health Organization, to provide, quote, accurate information on health issues. Microsoft even went a step further, and they created what was called the Defending Democracy Program. It works to prevent the spread of disinformation, particularly during elections, by providing tools to political campaigns and news organizations to, quote, safeguard against such threats. And guys, they're going as far as giving incentives to journalists to combat this. For example, Google funds journalism through initiatives like the Google News Initiative. This supports news organizations in combating misinformation And Google also highlights authoritative sources in search results and news platforms. Even Facebook launches initiatives like the Facebook Journalism Project, which supports local news and combats misinformation by promoting credible journalism. Now, having said that, I want to show you what is being proposed in the United Kingdom. Sir Keir Starmer recently came out and is suggesting that the government should review social media laws as part of efforts to prevent further disorder and spread of misinformation and conspiracies. Look, check this out. Here's the headline. Quote, tech giants will be forced to ban fake news under Labour plans. I said they will be forced to ban fake news. But again, the million-dollar question, my friend, is what exactly is fake news? Who is the, where does the buck stop? Whose desk does it stop at to decide that they are the arbitrator of truth and that this is false information? This is not. This is fake. This is authentic. This is harmful. This is not. This is extreme. This is not. According to the report, tech companies will be forced to ban fake news from their platforms under plans being considered by the government, and this is in the United Kingdom, and don't think it won't come to America. I'm telling you, it will come here. It's already in motion. All of this stems from the wake of the civil unrest that has spawned and spiraled out of control in the United Kingdom. Sir Keir Starmer, again, literally this past Friday, suggested that the government would review social media laws as part of efforts to prevent further disorder. According to a UK affiliate called The Telegraph, they understand that ministers are looking at introducing a duty on social media companies to restrict legal but harmful content. What this means is it could mean that firms are required to remove or suppress posts spreading fake news about asylum seekers or other topics such as self-harm, even if they don't meet the threshold for illegality. In other words, translation, big tech is not doing enough to suppress. They're not doing enough to shadow ban. They're not doing enough to censor. They're not doing enough to ban these platforms. Now the government needs to get heavily involved and just completely eradicate all quote-unquote fake news. Critics to this have said that this proposes a sinister and authoritarian side. You think? Where did all this stem from? Let me show you this. These plans come after a row between Elon Musk, who owns X, formerly known as Twitter, and the Prime Minister over his handling of the riots. So Elon Musk tweeted, "Why aren't all communities protected in Britain?" And it's so they went back and forth, and Elon Musk even said that there's a full-blown civil war breaking out in the United Kingdom. And then the Prime Minister chimed in and called it fake news. So they went, there was tit for tat, and they went back and forth. And the potential crackdown on tech companies would likely form part of a review of the Online Safety Act, which was passed last year. Again, already in motion, my friend. This act requires platforms to take, quote, robust action against illegal content and activity and will be implemented gradually. A legal but harmful clause requiring firms to take down or restrict the visibility of content deemed to be dangerous but not against the law was included in the original bill brought forward in 2022. But, I said but, it was removed because of free speech concerns, with critics warning it could allow a future Labour government to censor controversial material. So now this is rising up again. They're pushing for it, but then the critics are opposing it. And again, this is what would happen in the West too, but it's going to be interesting. And I predict, friends, that the farther society falls from God, the farther we get away from God and His Word, the more you're going to see this stuff arise and more, because again, what is considered to be fake news? What's considered to be misinformation? What's considered to be conspiracy? Listen, I could preach the gospel on YouTube, which is owned by Google, and stream it on Facebook and share it on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. That's pretty much covering all of the big tech giants. And I could preach a message on how Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no other name under heaven, has been given unto men in which we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. And that no man can come to the Father, but lest he come to the Son. I could preach that, and that can be deemed, I told you guys, my throat's coming in and out and everything else. I'm a mess. I'm a hot mess right now. Y'all pray for me. That could be deemed to be hate speech. That could be deemed to be misinformation. That could be deemed to be harmful content. That could be deemed, ready for this, the death, burial, and resurrection could be deemed as conspiracy theories. So if my platform is preaching Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through the Son, and he's the only way to heaven, and that gets flagged, we could literally lose our entire platform on any one of these big tech giants, if this comes to America. The former Tory government originally said the legal but harmful provisions of this bill could apply for content posing a threat to public health, such as misinformation. Now, remember, we did a whole podcast on the WEF and what they have planned in the event of a public health emergency. There is powers that be that have already got provisions in line and ready to go in the event of that. And you would be shocked at what they would be able to do and the freedoms that it would violate. A former Tory cabinet minister said perfectly legal comments, if this thing passes, could be targeted by an unelected thought police. Quote, this is the sinister and authoritarian side of Keir Starmer's Labor Party. This would drive a coach and horses through the principle of free speech. Quote, for the government to allow the removal of perfectly legal comments by an unelected thought police would be completely unacceptable in what is supposed to be a free country. Okay, then we had this. I thought this was like, what? Look at this. This also from the Telegraph. Schools begin to wage war on putrid fake news and anti-extremism crackdown. What? According to the Telegraph, children will be taught how to spot extremist content and fake news online and a revamp of the curriculum following last week's riots. So listen, all this has happened in the United Kingdom, guys. All of this is going on in the United Kingdom. Now look, if what we're seeing in the United Kingdom and in the streets of in the UK, if that is a preview, we ain't even got to the elections yet. We haven't got to November in America yet. Is this what we're going to get in America in November? Are we going to see this stuff happen in America? And if we see that stuff spill over here in America, you think for one moment that they're not going to implement these same, especially if this stuff passes in the UK and they see how they can become a totalitarian state and crack down on people. If they think it's successful, America will embrace it with open arms. Now, I'm not going to say America in itself as in you guys or me, but I'm talking about the government. I'm talking about the powers that be, the same ones that were in control during the pandemic and implemented all kinds of totalitarian efforts and procedures, and they saw that it was successful. Again, I believe that was, again, training ground for something bigger that's coming down the pike. I believe these are just, all this is, guys, I believe they're testing the waters here. The UK is testing the waters on how far they can push this and see what they're going to get away with. But listen, they're now teaching the children in school. You send them to get an education, and they're now on the curriculum. We're going to teach your kids how to spot extremist content. Again, I don't know what they're going to define that as. I have a hunch, but I'm pretty sure we all can guess what's going to be considered extremist content. And then fake news online. All of this is coming in a curriculum. Schools will use lessons such as English, ICT, or information and communication technology, and maths to arm pupils against putrid conspiracy theories. Guys, this is why I tell you, you got to get our app. It is imperative that you get our app and download it. Let me pull it up again in case you were asleep, not paying attention, whatever the case would be. There it is. Get the app, guys. It's free. Download it today. Apple, Android. You got to pick up the app. Hit yes, push notifications. Why? Because we're seeing, this is what's coming. They're going to, if you think they're not going to, they're going to label our site, our ministry is going to be right there with fake news. I guarantee you that. We check all the boxes on what they consider to be extremism. Bridget Phillipson, told the Telegraph that pupils as young as 5 years of age would be given the critical thinking skills to identify misinformation online under the new plans. It is more important than ever that we give young people the knowledge and skills to be able to challenge what they see online. That's why our curriculum, quote, review will develop plans to That's why our curriculum review will develop plans to embed critical skills and lessons to arm our children against the disinformation, fake news, and putrid conspiracy theories awash on social media. Our renewed curriculum will always put high and rising standards in core subjects first that's non-negotiable. But alongside this, we will create a broad, knowledge-rich curriculum that widens access to cultural subjects and gives pupils the knowledge and skills they need to thrive at work and throughout life. All of this came as Britain's top police officer urged people to step back from social media sites that have been accused of influencing rioters who've included young people. So stop for a second, guys. Think about this. So what do you think is going to happen? Listen, what do you think is going to happen when the people of America, let's just throw out a hypothesis here. The people of America got fed up with something that took place. I can't really go into detail with this because we'll see the very thing that we're talking about be put in action on this broadcast, and this podcast won't even see the light of day. But if the people, the general public, rose together and began to be a unified voice against something, a policy, a procedure, a law, a legislation, whatever, then again, they would hit that kill switch faster than you can blink an eye. I can guarantee you that. Guys, they've already done this in other countries. They've already done this. When the vote goes in a certain direction and the people rose up, they just hit the kill switch on social media and shut it down quick because they don't want it to continue to spread like wildfire. But I just wonder if it went in the direction that they favor and the narrative that they favor, I wonder if they'd hit the kill switch then or if they would go into overdrive and spread the fire more. Now, this goes right along with this. This is from the Blaze Media. Big Brother Ford Motor Company has just been awarded a patent to snitch to police when you and I speed. Let me say that one more time. Ford Motor Company. Anybody drive a Ford? Ford Motor Company has been awarded a patent that will alert police when you speed. In January of last year, Ford filed a patent application for a new technology that would allow to track the driving behavior of vehicles on the road and report speeding violations to law enforcement. Is that not disturbing? Vehicles would have cameras that activate if they detect speeding vehicles nearby and capture high quality images of the offending vehicle and its identifying features such as license plates or accessories attached to the offending car. Then those images and GPS data would be shared with local law enforcement to decide whether to initiate a chase. Of course, many are screaming that these cameras violate drivers' privacy. But it shouldn't come as a surprise that corporations and governments worldwide already have methods to spy on its citizens. Governments have been found to hack into private individuals' phones through software provided by corporations, and the NSA admits to purchasing American sensitive data. Local law enforcement has always partnered with corporations to surveil the public by installing cameras to detect speeding and running red lights. These cameras have come under fire for their questionable legality and efficacy, spurring some states to ban them. But it doesn't stop here. Car makers are not the only ones scheming to snitch on drivers. Popular apps like Life 360, which is a location sharing app popular for families with teens, are accused of selling families' data to insurance companies. Despite being advertised as an app that helps improve family safety, it violates families' privacy. In 2021, one former X-Mode employee claimed Life 360 had the most valuable offerings due to the sheer volume and precision compared to other sources of data. Another one is called My Radar, which is a weather forecast app. And then there's Gas Buddy, which finds the cheapest gas stations. All of these have been accused of violating privacy for profit. Then you have Progressive. They have a product called Progressive Snapshot, and drivers voluntarily attach the device to their vehicles, allowing Progressive to track their driving behavior. Of course, there's incentives given to them if they do this. Each time the device detects a hard brake, it will beep, encouraging drivers to alter their behavior on the road. All right, so I'm going to switch gears here. I told you there was going to be two parts to this podcast tonight. So that's a lot to pray about. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. That's where we are. But now let's go. I want to show you. Let me show you this verse of scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul warns, and we've talked about this so many times on these programs, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1. Look what the Word of God warns about. Paul says, the Spirit of God expressively warns us and says that in the latter times, or the end times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to, they will embrace, they'll tolerate, they'll welcome it, they'll cheer it on, they'll applaud it. Keep all this in the back of your mind. They will give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They will attend churches where people will be behind the pulpits that are influenced by demons, giving them sermons that are birthed from the pits of hell. They're not found in the Bible. They're not influenced by the Holy Ghost. They're influenced by demons. That's why they're called doctrines of demons. And y'all, listen, I don't know what y'all waiting on. Some of y'all is like, well, I haven't seen this yet. What rock are you hiding under? Because listen, I'm going to make this crystal clear today and show you some examples of this. There's an up and coming growing church in San Francisco, and it's called The Place to Be. But let's look behind the curtain and see what goes on at this church, shall we? Look at this. This is from DNYUZ. Yoga, laser art, and Bobby McFerrin are attracting residents who are longing for a community, but not necessarily religion. Translation, yeah, we don't really want that God stuff. We don't really want the Bible. We don't really want Jesus. We don't really want the Holy Spirit. We just want to be entertained. We want our ears tickled. We want something worldly. Give us yoga. Give us laser art. Give us Bobby McFerrin, you know, don't worry, be happy. San Francisco residents have always celebrated the new, the innovative, and the cutting edge. The weirder, the better. But these days, the people are flocking to a surprising venue for the cool factor. And what is that? It's a church that's older than San Francisco itself. High atop Knob Hill, above the clanging cable cars and luxury hotels, stands the majestic Grace Cathedral. The Episcopal congregation dates back to 1849, the year before the city was even incorporated, when pews were filled with miners tossing gold dust into the offering plates as a precursor to the current building. The Gothic Cathedral, built in 1927, was the home of Sunday services, baptisms, weddings, funerals, and Christmas choral performances. However, we are in the 2020s. And the past few years, there has been a major shift. Now, it has boomed for reasons that have nothing to do with the Bible. And that's not my word, guys. That is the article written from DNYUZ. Just the other week, and I quote, a public art display featuring colorful lasers beamed from the roof of the nearby Fairmont Hotel into the big round window at the front of the cathedral. The event drew more than 1,000 onlookers, including Sergey Brin, billionaire co-founder of Google, and Kudra Kalima, a Ugandan prince and tech founder. Kanye West, the rapper, has visited the cathedral during quiet hours to play the organ. Of course he has. Bobby McFerrin, the singer made famous by the 1988 hit Don't Worry, Be Happy, regularly leads cathedral goers in improvised song circles. But it's not just star power fueling the interest in Grace Cathedral. In a city where official buildings remain among the emptiest in the nation, many remote workers in San Francisco are longing for a real-world community. What are they doing to accommodate them? Kimberly Porter, how do you pronounce it? Volunteers at the cathedral's twice weekly yoga classes. So yoga classes in the church. Session so popular, she has to perform what she calls mat Tetris to ensure everybody fits between the columns and the pews. In church, yoga. Others are finding community and joy at the cathedral by packing in monthly sound baths. What the heck is this? They nestle into sleeping bags to listen to musicians play by candlelight. They are dancing in the pews in the church at tribute concerts to Sting, Queen, and Taylor Swift. Here it is. I'm just going to pull it up here so you can see what I'm looking at. And I'm going to highlight this for you. Here we go. Ready? The cathedral has even hosted carnivals, drag queens, and trapeze artists swinging from its soaring ceilings. Now, guys, again, this is nothing new. Remember, this happened at a church recently where there was a sword-swallowing pole dancer. But look at this. All of this is in the church, friend. Yoga, carnivals, drag queens, trapeze artists, swinging from the ceilings. But just in case you're not convinced that we're not in the last days, we're not in the days of deception and seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, I've got something for you. Now, here's a video. I pulled this up and you can see the title. United Methodist University Duke Divinity declares God is a drag queen and the trans man. Yes, this is in a United Methodist church. Right there, you're looking at it. I want you to hear what this woman says. This is absolute blasphemy. But again, what did I say? 1 Timothy 4:1. The day Paul said that this day would come, friend. He said the day would come when people would stand behind pulpits and they would teach from a doctrine of devils and they would be led away and astray by seducing spirits. If you want to see this in its full glory, here you are right here. Listen to this.
Good identities. Today you will hear from four amazing speakers and three beautiful soloists who will give words to their experiences with the God who calls them. We want to affirm everyone to be who they truly are, to step into the Holy One's fire that burns away all that says we are not good enough.
Well, that, again, if you just listen to that, you're like, okay, well, I can roll with that because Jeremiah talked about he stands before a holy God and he puts coals on his lips and says, who am I? I'm a man of unclean lips. And Lord, as he got closer to the presence of God, he realized he was a man with unclean lips. The Holy One, the God of fire. He's a consuming fire. Okay, but let's go on.
And refines us by the Pentecostal fire to be who exactly the great queer one calls us to be.
What? Hold on. Wait a minute. What?
Exactly the great queer one calls us to be.
She just called Yahweh God, the great queer one. Now, I know some of you are shocked by this, but listen, let's go on.
Let the Spirit move.
Listen to them clapping. Let the Spirit move you today. What Spirit? Obviously, they're not talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to move in that. There, Ichabod is over the doorpost of that church. I can tell you that right now. The Holy Spirit is far from this, friend. She is not referring to Yahweh God when she says this. There's no way. She's not referring to our God, Elohim.
Lift your hands and your voices and dance in whatever way is most freeing for you. Would you please stand, step into this worship space, and pray with me the words found in your bulletin and on the screen.
All right, listen to this prayer.
Strange one, fabulous one.
Strange one.
Fluid and ever becoming one.
What?
Do not allow us to make our ideas of you into an idol.
Listen to the people chanting this.
You are as close to us as our own breath, and yet your essence transcends all that we can imagine. You are mother, father, and parent. You are sister, brother, and sibling.
Guys, look at these people. I'm just saying, look at them.
You are drag queen and trans man.
You're drag queen and trans man. She called God, the great queer one, drag queen and trans man, and ever fluid.
And gender fluid, incapable of limiting your vast expressions of beauty. Embodied in us, your creation, we recognize our flesh in all its forms is made holy in you.
Wow, guys, wow. This is where we're at today. Now you tell me, and you're going to tell me that we don't have seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in churches that have taken over churches? And these people are all just chanting this and going right. No one's questioning it. What is going on, guys? Like, wow. Does anyone read the Bible anymore? This is unbelievable. But it gets worse. I really wish I could tell you it gets better, but it gets worse. What you're about to see is the pastor of this church, the pastor of the Methodist church, comes out, announces that he's trans, he's gay, and he has full makeup on. This is not a Saturday Night Live skit. This is not a prank. Nobody's getting pranked here. This really happened, and here's video of it.
To say thank you to Amanda Rose for doing my makeup this
morning. Look at this guy. Could you imagine going to a church, sitting in a pew, and seeing the pastor of the church come out looking like this? A man, full makeup. The pastor looking like this, talking like this, saying this, admitting this, confessing this. Listen to what he says here.
Amanda Rose for doing my makeup this morning, because you do not want to see what it would look like if I did it. So together is the key word here, because I could not be where I am today without community support. I could not be the proud gay man serving as a pastor of a...
Oh my gosh, guys. We got to rewind it. Listen to what he says here.
Support. I could not be the proud gay man serving as a pastor of a United Methodist congregation.
Guys, do you realize John Wesley, Charles Wesley, they would be astounded, shocked, grieved to see this. That entire, what he just said right there is so blasphemous. It is unimaginable. And look at these lemmings sitting on the stage. Nobody questions it. Everybody receives, oh, yes, yes, this is wonderful. This is great. All these people, guys, have been seduced and deceived by doctrines of demons. All of these people, I know this is going to be hard. Every one of these people, even the ones we don't see on camera, if they accept this, embrace this, tolerate this, give heed to this, as Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if they don't repent, guys, they're going to hell. That's the gospel truth. I know that's harsh, that's brash. That is the truth.
In Orlando and Florida in the South, without having longstanding allies in the work of inclusion, such as Pastor Andy... One little conversation.
Well, Pastor Andy, he's just as a heretic as this guy.
And one little spark can spark a whole reformation.
This is not the kind of reformation we need. This is a reformation birthed from hell, friend. This is not a reformation of the Holy Ghost. This is not biblical. Wow, wow.
And so I speak to the men as a gay man in this little section of Paul's writings because it's talking about fundraising, redistribution of wealth.
Oh, it's so cringe. Now he's going to get up and read the scripture, and I guarantee he's going to contort it and twist it. I mean, dude, it's inspired by Satan already. You don't think there's going to be twisting and contorting of the scripture?
So speaking as one, and that we all know, well, most of us know, that statistics show that a two-male household earns more on average.
There we go.
We usually have the capacity to support and collaborate in ways many others can't. And it is our responsibility, especially as people who hold power and privilege, to collaborate when we have that power and the wealth to build something new.
Gee, I wonder what he's talking about here. Wonder what he's trying to inspire to build.
We have the power to build up and lift up marginalized communities. This is not to have some sort of savior complex, but to say that there seems to be a great lack of awareness that the LGBTQ community is rife with economic diversity.
Really? There's a lack of that? Where? Where is there a lack of that? Because I don't see it. I mean, I'm inundated with it on television, commercials, internet, social media, everywhere, billboards. I go in the mall, it's there. Everywhere I go, it's there. We have an entire month dedicated to it. How's there not awareness to this?
And this is no masquerade. This is me. A man who loves to preach about Jesus, is openly gay, and has a side he's never shared before.
Wow.
Until today.
Sad, guys. Look at all these people just cheering. Yeah, look, watch them. Just clapping and cheering and cheering. All these, I guess this is the leadership. They're all on board with it. All of these people, guys, are deceived.
This is the power of collaboration. This is the power of sharing our resources. And I couldn't have done this without you.
Guys, we are living in perilous times. These are the end times. I need you to share this. It may not get very far. It may be like a lead balloon. It'll probably be so suppressed by Google and YouTube and these platforms. It'll probably be shadow banned. It probably won't get very far and probably get very many likes. But listen, our ministry loves you too much, friend, to not tell you the truth. What you just saw there was prophetic. It's exactly what Jesus warned about. He said, as it were in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. This stuff was prevalent in the days of Lot. This was one of many practices that resulted in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And now, and guys, in Lot's day, it was in the streets. But now we're in 2024, and it's being promoted behind pulpits. And we wonder why the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. We wonder why 1 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and heal their land. Friends, until the church gets cleaned up of this mess, there will be no revival. There'll be no third great awakening. There'll be no healing of the land until this stuff gets cleaned up, until a move of repentance comes from the house of God, and it begins in the house of God. So I'm here today to sound the alarm and warn you that there is seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they're taking strongholds. They're taking absolute strongholds in churches, and people are swallowing this up. People are falling for this stuff. They're being seduced. And you read on in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says their very conscience has been seared with a hot iron. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Again, you're looking at right there on your screen is our main app. Again, please download it, because I can't guarantee you that you're going to see our content on any of these social media platforms because of the censorship and the suppression that we talked about on the first half of this program. We had to inform you this. So again, get the app today, download it, hit yes to push notifications, all this so you can be notified. Again, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, we always want to give an opportunity to sow back into this ministry or whatever your relationship is with this ministry. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, guys, we love you. We appreciate you. We're going to let you go for tonight. We will probably be off tomorrow because we are going to be recording with Larry Ragland on tomorrow night or tomorrow during the day, and that will be aired on Thursday night. So we will be off tomorrow. We typically take off on Wednesdays, but tomorrow we'll be off, which will be the 13th, and we'll be right back here on the 14th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. So until we see you guys on the 14th, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for your support and your partnership, and we pray the Lord's blessings be upon you. May the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a couple days. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.